someone mentioned to me today through someone they sent me about Timothy, and that really got me thinking. I'm thinking, Timothy? Oh, yeah, I know a lot about Timothy. Or I thought I did. And, well, I do. You know, I got an overview of Timothy's life, and Timothy was a labourer. Timothy was Paul, the Apostle Paul's labourer. Son of God in his own right, walked with God, had the Spirit of God dwelling in him. But he had to learn, and he had to follow, and it took discipline from him. And I wrote a few things down here I just want to go through. And so here's a little bit of background about Timothy. Because I can remember one time, there was a wonderful believer, an Indian believer, and he used to say in this sense, he said, oh, you've got to be like Timothy, you've got to carry Paul's suitcases. You know, so the Apostle Paul would mean, like, for him, it would have meant Sangha. You know, he says, I carry his suitcases, I go ahead, make things nice for him. Not because he's a king or anything like that, but because of the love and respect and the word living in his heart and his calling and his function for God. So this is what Timothy done towards Paul. But Timothy was also trained by Paul. The person that shared this with me was also trained by Sangha and would do the same. Now, when I look at the leaders, I look, because of that example that this one, that Indian leader gave me, I always look to see, is this labourer like a Timothy? And when you look at those labourers there in India, and you look at them in Nepal, they are like Timothy's. You know, they're humble, they're meek, they want to serve, they go ahead of their leader, they prepare things, get things ready. I think about the disciples with Jesus. They would go ahead, they would prepare a place that Jesus would also be involved in the instruction of that and where the location was going to be. They were working together. No, even Jesus was involved. Okay, you're going to go and get a donkey, and then you're going to go here, and the housekeeper's going to let you have a, you know, have the room. That just wasn't magically done. You know, Jesus could have bumped into him. He could have gone ahead. You don't know how he arranged all those things for when they met and had dinner. But it takes preparation. Sakina, she's been in prayer. She's been, you know, going to God. She's been getting everything organized and together so that we can have this time. She's doing it now, like way ahead of the time, which is great. So the preparation is very important. And, you know, and I can see a massive change in Sakina, just in the heart, in the service. And so I look at people who I'm, you know, I work with, and I can see these great potential. Just like myself, I look for the potential in me too. You know, I'm not there yet. I am as a son of God, but in practice, in what we're doing, is all learning, it's all growing. So Timothy, so his Greek name was Timotheus, and his name means honoring God. Do you know that? Honoring God, or one who honors God. And so Timothy's life was one that honored God. That's what his name meant, and that's who he was. Just like Joseph, I think, means rich or prosperous. He was, right? So names are very important. So like our words are very important. So just that little detail there. So Timothy's father was a Greek. So he was a Gentile, he wasn't a believer. His mother was Eunice, and a Jewish believer in Christ. And his grandmother was Lois, also a believer. And you can read that in 2 Timothy 1:5. So Timothy was raised in the Jewish scriptures, in the scriptures, by his mother and grandmother, but he also grew up in the Greek culture background. So his introduction in the scriptures starts in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through to 3. I mentioned them, so you want to take a mental note or write it down. You can go and read Acts chapter 16. So he's first mentioned there when Paul came to Lystra, which was his hometown. So Timothy was already a believer, with a good reputation amongst the local believers. And so obviously, Paul got to hear about Timothy. And he got to hear good things. Like, you know, I go to Windsor, I hear good things about Reuben. You know, he's really well, he went through some stuff and God delivered him and healed him. And now he's fervent and he's ministering and he's encouraging people and God's working greatly. And then you hear about Nozomi. You know, Nozomi, she's very hot and she's walking with God. And, you know, she's a great encourager of the believers. And then you hear about Stephen, a great leader. Then you hear about Sharma and you hear about Glub Singh and all these other wonderful leaders and the new leaders like Pooja and all these people rising up. Wonderful. These names are like precious to me. They're like reading when you read about Timothy or Titus. They're precious names. These are people that walk with God. And so are these guys, but also so are you. You are precious believers that walk with God, and God needs your focus. He needs you to be this type of way, right? So Timothy was well spoken of. He had a good reputation. You know, he preached the word, healed people. And Paul saw the potential in him and chose him as a companion and a fellow laborer. So Paul worked with this young man, encouraging him, building him up. You know, and I love working with people. You know, the people that come to me and they're humble. You know, because you can tell if someone's humble enough because they're coachable. They're going to listen to what you've got to say. And it's not that you've got to domineer them, you know, in the speech or in a conversation, but they're listening. You know, they're listening and they're taking on things, and you may have said something and they've gone and done it. That's a laborer. You know, someone that really is listening and paying attention for their own walk with God, but also for the respect of the leader that they're connected to, because they recognize and are respectful to God's calling on that person's life and who they've placed them with. So, you know, even Paul was very wise when he worked with Timothy. So he had Timothy circumcised because his father was a Greek, and Timothy wanted to have no problems with the Jewish people because you had to be circumcised, and Paul was in and out amongst them. And so his role in his ministry, in his walk, was to be a fellow laborer together with Paul. And Timothy traveled, and he was with him on his missionary journeys through Acts chapter 16 and 20, you can read. He was trusted, you know, Paul entrusted him, and he also sent him to strengthen other believers. So a laborer is someone that you can rely upon and depend upon. You know, a laborer is someone that, you know, you can get to lead a meeting and not have to be there because you've got to go somewhere else, or you've got other things that you're doing. So you want people to rise up. Someone that you can trust, you can entrust with them not trying to take over everything, you know, but they're moving in unison. We're moving in unison with each other. You know, a lot of people want to take over other leaders' stuff. And, you know, you might even find that as you grow in your fellowships and in your ministry. So, but a true laborer won't be doing that. They'd be walking alongside you. No, they want to see the vision with. They see the vision with you of the growth and the faithful ones. And we look for qualities in leaders and laborers. Are they faithful? Are they honest? Do they have integrity? Will they be backing me up? Are they backing us up? Are they speaking the same thing? Are they talking behind my back? Are they diverting? Are they speaking with two tongues? You know, like nice to you 1 minute and doing something different the other minute. No, and I think the Indian people, they've experienced leaders overtaking, like Raj Sutton. He had a wonderful growth in Punjab, and one of the other leaders rose up and kind of got a reputation with all the other people, and then he took it over from Raj Sutton, behind Raj Sutton's back, and then they went off, and Raj Sutton had no one. And there was thousands of them, but all of them, it all dissipated, it all fell apart, because it wasn't of God. The person probably had a nice personality and was able to talk about how he don't follow Raj. You know, but you know what Sangit said to Raj? I remember Raj telling me, so I told Sangit, I said, what does Sangit say? He said, well, that's really good, because God's going to bless you with more. And you know what? That's so true, and that's what's happened. He's got thousands upon thousands of laborers, and he started again with God. From having thousands to nothing to starting again. You know, he should have been really discouraged, because I think I would have been. But I know I wouldn't stop because I'm called of God, as simple as that. I'm not living any other life here, you know. No matter what happens, I won't be living any other life. I'll be living for God. So it's like, you know, I can imagine what that must have been like for him. And I can remember, you know, Raj Sutton saying to me, you know, he said, I asked God, what does a laborer look like? You know, he thought it looked like something. But I think maybe not in dress, but in heart. You know, what is a laborer like? You know, and I've just told you some qualities of a laborer. You know, they're reliable. They're faithful. They do things. They run ahead of you. They carry your suitcase type of thing. Not that we're looking for people to serve us, but a laborer will serve their leader. You know what I mean? And they've done it for Jesus, you know, and Jesus was also in parts of the things that were going on as well. He served. He washed their feet. He showed the example. So I'm talking in this manner now because this is a leaders meeting. Let's get the context of our meeting and why we're here and what we want to do, because we all want to move forward, you know, and we can learn a lot from just reading about Timothy, for an example. You can learn a lot about leadership looking at Joseph, Moses, even Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. You know, he spoke up, didn't he? So there's lots of things you can gain and then ask God to teach you on it. Ask God to give you the wisdom about all these things. You don't just want a knowledge of something. You want an in-depth spiritual perception and awareness of something. You know, you want that spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, where God's showing you because you're really living it. And because you've decided, it starts within the heart that you've made up, I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to hear God's voice, and God's going to talk to me, and God's going to show me. And not only is he going to show me and talk to me, and I'm not living this just in my mind, but I'm going to see the manifestation of what he's showing me. So, Timothy strengthened the churches. You can read that 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 2, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 22. So, Paul left him also in Ephesus to oversee and work with the believers there at Ephesus. He said, you know, I left you at Ephesus. No, see that they teach no other doctrine. So a laborer's job is to make sure what you're learning, that nobody else is teaching something contrary to that. Now, if you go into this fellowship and that fellowship and this fellowship and that fellowship, you're going to hear different, you're going to have contrary teachings, aren't you? See what I'm saying? This is why we stay focused. It's not control. See, we need to stay focused where God's connected us. I don't go anywhere else. Kim will tell you, I stay connected to Sangha and then I go to India or I go to Nepal. That's why I go. And then I take the encouragement I'm given and I practice it exactly as I understand it, according to my understanding of that. And then I check it and then I look at the fruit and I see the results and I see the people getting blessed. Everyone does their own thing, really. A lot of people, well, I'm going to go on this fellowship, or I'm going to listen to so-and-so on YouTube. And I'm going to go, you're free to do all that, but you're not helping yourself. Because you're going to dilute your faith on what the real direction is. You're either focused or you're not. And you need to make up your mind what you're going to do about it. Because when you make up that mind, that decision again, to stay with sound doctrine where you're being fed, you're soon. God is able to do so much more, seriously. And so Paul gave Timothy instruction. Paul could have said, well, Timothy could have said, well, no, I got the Spirit of God. I don't need you. God's teaching me by the Spirit and giving me rhema words. Why do I need to stay in Ephesus? What about if I want to go down to Rome? And I got to stay in Ephesus because you told me to. Who are you to dictate to my life? He could have done, couldn't he? He didn't. He was humble. He was meek. And God wouldn't have worked that in Paul if it wasn't going to be beneficial for Timothy, because God knows where we need to be each time we need to be there. So Paul had a great relationship, and Paul referred to him in 2 Timothy 1:2 as his beloved son, my beloved son. He wasn't his real son. He was his son in the faith, you know, my true child in the faith. And that's what he was. He was a true child in the faith. He was like father and son relationship. He listened to everything Paul told him to do. And because he believed that God was working in him to do these things. So their relationship was like a father and son spiritually. And Paul mentioned Timothy in training and leadership and in doctrine and endurance. And he led him and showed him all the things that he needed to do. So, 1 Timothy, Paul's instruction for church leadership, sound teaching, prayer, and dealing with false teachers. He had to deal with a lot of false teachers. He had to make sure people weren't teaching any other doctrines. Do you think that's the same today? I think so. It only needs a slight change in your doctrine, you're going to go off course. So we have to be led by the Spirit of God, and our doctrine, what I teach, what you should be teaching, what anyone that is being led by the Spirit of God is the heavenly words, is the rhema words from God. These, you know, words coming from God, from the source. Even though we got the scriptures, it will not go outside of the scriptures either, what we're saying. In fact, it will enhance the scriptures and make them more understandable to us as God, because God's given. God's given. I have found that I understand the scriptures a lot more since I've been speaking by the Spirit and letting God give me the words, and I don't go outside of it. Maybe if my own thoughts come in, I could go outside, but it won't be by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God speaks perfectly and expressively. And so God wants us to be on point. And he really wants us to up it in our discipline, in our focus on what we're doing. And some of the letters that Timothy had to do were written from prison. So like Paul's final letter, it was like a personal and emotional charge for Timothy to remain faithful, to preach the word and endure hardship. In other words, there was going to be some tough times coming up. Endure it. Stay with God. And like, if I think of Sangha, most of the time, you look to God. You go to God. Just relax. God's taking care. All is well. These are the things that we declare. These are the things that we think when we're going through a tough time. So we can see the key qualities of Timothy. There's just a few little things I've written down here. He was faithful and he was sincere in his faith. He was young but mature. And though young, Paul encouraged him not to let others despise his youth, but to be an example. And we can do that now, even though we're older. Let's be an example, right? He was gentle and he was caring. And Paul said to him, I have no one else like him who will show you genuine concern for your welfare. That was in Philippians 2:20. So Timothy knew the heart of Paul. He knew his heart. You know, he knew his heart. He knew how Paul would respond or speak in situations. God also working within that and bringing to his remembrance. I bet he was just as hot as Paul. But the function again, what God calls each one to function in. And he was also obviously added, his demeanor must have been a bit more timid, because Paul had to say, be strong in Christ. You know, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Stir up the gift that's within thee. You know, with the laying on of hands. You know, you had your hands laid on you. You had prophecy over you. Now, those prophecies, those words that were spoken over, like, stir yourself up. Do you know what? The prophecy I had over me from Sangha, from God through Sangha, someone recorded it, thankfully, and I got that. And I play that sometimes. And everything in that prophecy not only has happened, but is a great encouragement now. I tingle from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes when I'm reminded by God to listen to it again. It's not all the time, but God at times will go and get me to listen to it again. And so even, you know, Paul continued as a leader in Ephesus, and he was killed there as well. And obviously, I think you can find the history of him. But really, there was just a few little things I knew just through what someone sent me today, and it mentioned Acts 16 and straight away Timothy. And I'm thinking, yeah, we've got the leaders meeting, and he was a great leader. He was a great laborer. So we want Timothys. We want people that are going to move with God, people that are humble, people that carry your suitcase for you, people that go the extra mile for you without you actually saying anything or demanding or even thinking anything. It's just naturally in their heart. And that's a laborer. When it's naturally in their heart, you don't have to even say anything. Jason comes up every Sunday here, come up here, and he'd do our garden for us. And we never ask him. I never say, Jason, can you do this? Unless Kim says, oh, there's a little bit more extra work. Would you ask Jason to come up? That's the only time we ask him. But other than that, like, he come up today, and he went and cleaned all our garden up for us. Didn't ask him to do it, but he's recognized, and, you know, he's faithful. He's been with me since 20-odd plus years now, isn't it? Since after we come out of the ministry and got together, about 22, 23 years. Right. Yeah, maybe a bit more. He's supported me the best he could as a minister. And so he's a laborer. Like, he's a laborer. And so now God just wants to fine-tune the things with all of us, because you're laborers and you're leaders, great leaders. You've got to see yourself like this, because you've got Christ in you and you're getting the best words from God. And so you really can, if you focus yourself right and position yourself right in your listening and doing, receiving the words gladly, Get rid of all the other doctrines. That's the key to this. So that you're free. Now we're to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Some of the old people we know and love are still entangled with the old doctrine and they're feeding it to you. So you're going to rise up or you're going to just listen to them. It's up to you. So like, that's what I'm saying. You need to make up your minds. You know, that I'm going to live for God. I'm going to move for God. I'm going to cut all ties that leads me to bondage and stops me from moving because I'm under no law and I'm free in Christ to move and I'm free to move where God has placed me. That's where I'm going to flourish and grow. So just remember, you are labored. Look, know what to look for in a laborer. You know, because not everyone comes to us as a laborer. They got the potential for it, but where is their heart? Then you'll see the difference. Because it's all about service and about wanting to do and about putting, for an expression, your money where your mouth is, so to speak. And I'm not on about money, but, you know, putting your money where your mouth is, showing that you mean business. And this is the real leaders, you know, and they don't compromise. And they will speak up. And they will say what's right, you know, and they'll be led by the Spirit of God. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share. And with that, I'm going to ask Mr. Fred Davenport to share next.